In 2009, a group of Kevin Smith fans converged on Brantford, Ontario, Canada. Sent there to play hockey, they soon discovered their mission was full of hijinks, shenanigans, and a whole lot of beer and poutine. Having survived their first year in the Great White North, they return every year to continue the tradition. But in 2015, three of them decided to document their adventures, trials, and tribulations. If you have come to laugh, cry, or simply enjoy yourself at their expense, then you have come to the right place. You have come to Jim's Barbecue. Hi, welcome to episode 32 of Jim's BBQ Podcast. I'm Mike.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Yuri.
Yuri? Yuri's back?
Yes, but only temporary.
Oh, boy.
Your friend come back for a show.
Okay, good. Because we need Dylan. Yuri,
yes.
Yuri, you got to go work the shift at Toronto Airport.
Yes, and they're liable in suits, so patch him up, fix back. Necronomicon, dark magic, don't ask questions.
Okay, we won't.
So, I go now, Dylan come back. Hey, fuck you, Yuri, you fucking Sarge.
Hey, Dylan!
Yo, guys, it sucked being dead, but I'm happy to be back.
Oh my gosh, man, we were really scared. We didn't know what we were going to do without you.
I've seen things, but that's a story for another time.
You seen them?
Yeah, I seen them.
Seen them. All right, well, this is going to be part two of our episode with Paul Saunders. It's you guys are in for a treat. We do some insecurity questions. We do some Sarges of the Week. Dylan's Sarge is epic. I couldn't believe how messy it was, but, man, holy shit, it was messy.
It was a shitty situation.
It was an incredibly shitty situation. But before we get there, don't forget, you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JimsBBQPod.
You can send us an email with hashtag DIAD in the subject line at JimsBBQPod @gmail.com. Or you can join our friend Yuri and listen to all the episodes fresh from the girl at JimsBBQPod.com.
No, don't. Fuck Yuri, man. That guy's a dick.
And don't forget, you can rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. And also, don't forget to go and visit GrinderJerseys.com for all your jersey needs.
All your jersey needs.
Arnold? All right, and cue up, Paul Saunders.
Right. Yeah, enter Paul.
Okay, do we have...
Came out this past week. Metallica is putting out a new album, or double album...
Oh, it is double, eh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I said double with a little bit of trepidation because there's actually a deluxe version that's a 3-disc set.
Shit.
But come to find out, I did a little bit of research on it. It's kind of neat what they're doing with that third disc. It's like a Origins-type disc where they're going to, like, the tracks are basically going to be some of the riffs and the development of the riffs into the songs. So it's actually legitimately like the album is a double album, and then the third disc that they're putting in the deluxe version is that it's like a riff origin type thing. But yeah, I was kind of shocked by it, and then of course they also released the first single off of it, and I was actually impressed by it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't listened to it yet.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Play it right now.
Dude, it's probably the best thing they've put out in over 20 years, I think.
What's shocking is that it's only, what, 3 minutes and change?
Yeah.
But...
All right, I turned the sound up. There we go. There we go.
Can't believe you haven't heard it yet, Dylan.
I say Kirk Hammett looks like a fucking hobo now, though.
He's, what, 50-something years old?
James Hetfield is like rock and roll dad.
I don't care what they look like. What does it sound like?
It definitely sounds way more old school than that.
So Dylan, you should mute so we don't get sued by Metallica.
Fucking Lars.
That would be cool, but yeah, fuck Lars.
But yeah, I was kind of impressed by it. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, with only 6 tracks on each of the discs of the double album, I gotta imagine we're probably gonna end up with some like longer jams and whatnot.
Yeah,
I think it'll be pretty cool. The album cover's kind of a mind fuck. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
No, I haven't.
It's like, I had sent you guys a link in the chat. If you go to that link, I know it's up there a little bit, but if you go to that link, it's like all of their heads like combined into like a like one.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Let's see if I can do this again. I'll put it down at the bottom. I just found it. It's up there as always.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at it. It's actually really disturbing. They're all making like hideous faces.
Yeah, you can kind of.
It's no more disturbing than Load.
Dylan will give you a load right on that Jim's BBQ Pod fan cruise as you guys share a cabin in January.
Oh, here's an interesting link. Macy Gray's jazzy cover of Metallica's Nothing Else Matters is strangely great.
And we know how much you guys have a preoccupation with Macy Gray ever since her award-winning appearance on Fuller House.
Yep.
I liked Fuller House.
Oh, we loved it. Except for Dylan.
Really?
Yeah.
We talked about this.
Why didn't you like it, Dylan?
Because it wasn't good. You might have to refer to our episode. You know, we do have plans to record another episode about Full House-ish.
Filler House?
Filler House.
Oh, I'm totally going to watch it, too.
I'm just...
Are you aware of Filler House?
No.
It's the Full House porn parody? Yeah, we're going to do a episode about that,
I think. But does the Stephanie character look hotter than Stephanie?
I don't know. I was all about Kimmy in the
Kimmy turned out to be not too shabby, but Stephanie grew up nicely.
There's a creepy old ass Paul Saunders.
That's not creepy, dude. She's like she's 30 something now, great. So nothing wrong with that.
But yeah, so that should be pretty cool, and comes out in November.
It sounds better than St. Anger, but well, I mean,
that's not saying much.
Jim ripping one on this pod sounded better than
St.
Anger.
Wow.
I'm still going to, one of these days when we get together, Dylan, and we have a long car.
Oh, it'll probably be better than Lulu, too.
We're going to listen to the Lulu album one of these days.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to figure out, I'm not sure whether it's a follow-up to Ride the Lightning or Master of Puppets, because that's where I put it.
Oh, just based on the first track?
Yeah, just from what I've heard so far. Like, that song book could fit on either of those, or in that era, anyway.
I kind of had heard that they were, like, because they just did, like, a re-release of Kill 'Em All.
Yeah.
That they were largely inspired by that, like, having to go through and work on that, that it kind of inspired them to put out this album.
So if you can assume they did the same thing, like, 30 years ago, then... Logically, that puts them in the Ride the Lightning era.
Right.
Sound, which it kind of does.
Yeah.
It's a little faster than, like, Puppets has, like, batteries pretty quick, but the rest of them are not as quick, right? So, let's say what's on Ride the Lightning. Either way, those are my two favorite albums anyway, so.
Ride the Lightning's probably my favorite.
Ride the Lightning's definitely my favorite.
Oh, there's some good jams on Puppets, too.
Oh yeah, Puppets is fantastic.
Oh, no doubt. But
no matter what Dylan says, I actually do like. In all honesty, I like Death Magnetic.
From what I've heard, I don't mind it either. So
it was okay. I just didn't like it that much.
Hey Jim, are you still with us?
I'm tired.
You're tired?
Well, let's give you something to talk about.
We got to give you something to talk about. I think this is going to energize you because. I'm impressed by some of the news that came out this week about a new venture of yours.
I'm very enthusiastic about it, but I'm probably going to sound like I'm not because I'm turd. So Jeff Quigley, that's been on back-to-back episodes that can really say one in a tenth episode. He fell asleep on the second one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, most amazingly, he also did the logo for our podcast.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm sure everybody's seen that. That's been out to the website, Facebook page, and Twitter, and all that good stuff.
Seen it.
So, you know, we've been talking, and, you know, dude's a phenomenal artist, and people are digging the stuff that he's got and a lot of things we collaborated on and whatever. We were like, fuck it, let's just do it, see what happens. And came up with an idea to do hockey jerseys, imagine that, with all original artwork of stuff that he's done or will do for it. And call it Grinder Jerseys. So if anybody wants to check it out, go to grinderjerseys.com. There's a pre-order for Halifax Comic Con, where Jeff's from. We're going to go up there in November and tool around there, so we'll both be there. But like I said, grinderjerseys.com. We've got a lot of ideas swirling, a lot of stuff in the pipeline that we're going to try and do and pull off and get up on the website and kind of make a go at it, see what happens, and hopefully it turns into something, you know, we're both proud of. And, you know, who knows, might ever end up turning into a career if we can really put some time into it and do what we want with it and, you know, get going. So
it will at worst be a proud sponsor of Jim's BBQ Pod.
Oh yeah, definitely be sponsored,
and we'll be a proud sponsor of Grinder Jerseys.
Hell yeah,
Jim's BBQ Podcast.
Yeah, if we go to the cons and we got a booth, you know, you could always come over and say you listen to the pod. And you know, who knows, Dylan and Mike might pop in, depending on the location of the con, and come over and be visiting the booth while you swing by.
Yes, all of a sudden, like, Dylan will just pop up from, like, a trap door and go, hey guys, I'm here! I heard you like the pod!
I'll just hide in a giant box filled with jerseys and just like, woo!
Yeah, I was gonna say, pop out wearing just a jersey only.
Yeah. Well, like Marilyn Monroe. Okay.
Yeah. But, well, as you guys alluded to earlier, I'm a huge jersey whore, and hockey jersey, not New Jersey. Sorry, Dylan.
It's okay.
I had quite such a passion for it, you know, and all the, how we all know each other through the hockey and everything else. And, you know, it's probably been 4 years already. Holy fuck. You know, doing the jerseys and getting everything organized and doing all that stuff, you know, the logistics end of it and making sure we've got something that, you know, we all like wearing or is, you know, has a good logo on it and everything else, which is how I met Jeff. But, you know, I've really enjoyed doing it. And if I can turn something that I really enjoy into, you know, a day-to-day thing that I can really get behind, it'd definitely be interesting to see where it ends up taking us.
Yeah, there's one thing I can say about this is if you've ever worked with Jim on anything jersey-related, you know the passion that this guy has for this. And I couldn't believe it. I was actually going to file harassment charges on him one time because holy shit, man. We got new jerseys done for my hockey team 1 year, and I couldn't get rid of the guy. I mean, it was almost like a daily thing where he kept pestering me about details about these jerseys. And I'm like, holy shit, man, this guy really loves these jerseys. But hey, you know what? Truth be told, he knocked those out of the park, and every jersey I've seen him ever do, he knocks out of the park. And him doing this and with a great artistic director in Jeff, they're going to knock this out of the park, man. If you want jerseys, this is the team to go to because they'll do it for you. They'll take care of you. They'll do it right. That's the key.
It's kind of funny because you guys all know Chad, and I did his Jeff did his new logo for his business, which is Chad Paints. His logo's an old take on superpowers. It has Chad Nowicki in it with his website. But, you know, I was doing the hockey jerseys, like you said, pestering you, and I'd send him something, and it'd be like 3 hours later. I was like, I wasn't happy with the blues. How's this one better? And he's like, fuck, man, it looks great. Just, you know, roll with it. I trust you. You just do it. And it's just funny coming from him because when he paints, he's meticulous and a perfectionist. And, you know, that's what he kept saying. He goes, man, you just want it to be perfect. And I'm like, yeah, because you don't, you know, because he does the same thing. But, you know, Mike, you'll attest because you did the one with me. But it has to be perfect for me. If it's not, I'm you know, I don't want to say pissed, but it's just got to be perfect. There's, like you said, there's that much passion behind it. I enjoy doing it, and I want everybody to have it and, you know, enjoy what I worked on or see the same thing I did and really get something out of it.
Yeah, that was the amazing thing is, I mean, you took something that I only had in my mind. Really, because that's all I had it. I had it in my mind. I couldn't express it on paper. You know how much of an artist I'm not. And somehow you made that a reality.
Yeah, I do. Well, Jeff's got all the talent as far as graphics and drawing. But
right. But, I mean, as far as the jersey goes and the colors and everything, you made all of that a reality. So, I mean, and I don't mean that as you specifically. I mean that you as a, like a collective.
Right. No, I get what you mean. And it just, it is a huge collaboration because, you know, and Jeff's the same way with me, but like, you know, and plus I knew you, not like I do now, but I knew you at the time and, you know, knowing you and your personality a little bit helped with what your vision was of the whole thing. And I think what really threw that one together was when you were like, you know, I'd like to have it some kind of, you know, motorcycle club themed or whatever. And right. I think once that got thrown into there, that was the it almost factor like for catalyst. It. Yeah. Right. And I don't know. It's I don't know if I can't remember at the time. I think yours was one of the, I think it was the second one I ever did. That's how long ago it was. You know, it's got to have that it factor for me. And I'll go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. And it's something's got to make, I have to look at it and be happy with it. It has to pop to me.
Yeah, it was a little while ago, and I'm still going through therapy over it.
Yeah, I imagine you probably got a few more years to go, but yeah. It did turn out pretty good.
Definitely worth it, though.
And I actually, it's just kind of funny, for as happy as I was with the design and how much you liked it and everybody else did. I mean, it's been tweaked, I think, 3 times since then.
Yeah. But yeah, man. So yeah, grinderjerseys.com. Check it out.
Yep. Hit me up.
Yeah. All right, boys. You know, when I invited Paul onto the podcast, one of the things that he seemed really amped for was one of our recurring segments. So I feel obligated.
Oh, the security question?
I feel obligated that we have to do at least a couple.
All right.
Are you prepared, Jim?
Yes, I'm fine. We can keep going. It's just I don't want you guys to think I'm not enjoying myself because my tone's probably a little flat. But I'm just tired.
You're
good.
You're tired.
It's okay, Jim. I'm getting out of jail pretty soon.
Oh, speaking of that, I kind of pulled a little bit of a Dylan a little bit ago.
Oh, yeah?
I Googled
him. You pulled a little Dylan?
No. Not like
Hey now.
Not like we did a few weeks ago in Jersey, but...
Dylan pulls a little Dylan all the time.
Yeah. I've been Googling Stephen Avery like every day or two just because I know his... attorney's getting ready to file that stuff, and her deadline's August 29th.
Oh, for taking a murder.
Yeah.
Not that we even have an episode where we talked about it, but I'm not obsessed and on Reddit and all that stuff. I've just Google it, and if there's a top news story that says 18 hours or one day away or whatever, it's recent, I'll skim it real quick to see what's going on. Like Brandon getting the 90-day thing to get a retrial. If not, he's free. You know, I didn't realize you didn't know that. I could have sworn I told you and Dylan, but
I knew that.
She filed today, and the stuff that they're trying to she's trying to accomplish with the new technology and DNA and all this stuff, like the car, like supposedly she's got proof of where it was before, based off of remember how that one thing that kept sticking in our minds that really was like, how'd that cop call it in, and that was never an issue when it, and he was somewhere else, but it ended up in the scrapyard and all that. She's got, timelines built for all this stuff, redoing the DNA evidence that somehow the Corey's involved. That ex-boyfriend that we all said that was, shady or something was up with that.
Creepy.
Dude. Yeah. There's something was up with him, but... I still personally think that he had something to do with the whole thing. But anyway, I'm really derailing. But that was
that's okay.
I looked it up earlier because I know it was coming up close. And 29th, is the 29th Monday or Tuesday?
We were talking about it earlier today. And
yeah,
you had mentioned, I didn't know the thing about Brendan. And,
yeah,
but he's, and then that article that you linked, I was like, oh my god, really?
Yeah. So I was kind of wondering if she was going to file today because of the. Get it in before the weekend because the 29th's her last day. She did, so it was a quick read I read on it. But I mean, the shit that then she's got, I think 90 days to 6 months or whatever, because all the forensic testing is going to take at least 90 days to 3 months to, 90 days is 3 months, to finish.
Give or take.
Yeah. So I guess she calls it a theory, but the things that I've read. It sounds like she's almost got proof to point towards who really did it and everything. So really interested to see what she pulls out, because I think this lady's legit, and she's 100% goes by the facts and what she can prove, not what she can make people believe. Plus, she's 17-0 at it too. I mean, I don't know, that's a pretty good statistic.
Oh shit!
Yeah, she's got 17 overturned convictions.
Nice.
But anyway, that's my hashtag. Yeah, it's I don't know. And I know they're making the season two of Making a Murderer. Yep. And I'm sure I'll probably watch it just because, you know, the first one caught us all, you know, everybody basically.
But well, yeah, we'll pot about it too.
But
that's kind of our shtick. We do specific seasons on Netflix
yeah, with certain exactly. shows. So, you know, I don't know. I think don't get me wrong, and we hinted at this when we talked, you know, you can't forget there was a victim in there. I mean, there was, that girl lost her life, but God, if he really is innocent, you know, can you imagine? I don't know. The whole thing's fucking mind boggling.
All right. So yeah, when we asked Paul to be on the show, one of the things he asked about was the security question. So I kind of feel like we need to at least do a few security questions with Paul. It only seems appropriate.
I agree.
So without further ado, one of Jim's favorite things of the podcast. You ready, Jim?
I'm ready.
You ready? All right. But insecurities with Dylan, Jim, Mike, and Paul. It gets everybody.
That's good.
That's funny.
What are you throwing at us this week, Mike?
Ah, yes. Question number 38. What is your favorite movie?
Ooh. I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite.
I could probably give you my favorite genre movie.
We often say with Dylan, because Dylan always asks for these qualifiers, you can make this question whatever you want it to be.
Nah, I don't need any qualifiers for this one.
The first one that popped in my head was Strange Brew.
Was what?
Really?
Strange Brew.
Okay.
So he's going Canadian.
Love that movie. All-time favorite? I mean, like, overall genres? I don't know, man. That's tough. Strange Brew, I think, is my favorite comedy, but Shawshank Redemption's a fucking good movie, too.
I'm trying to think. If I went by the movie that I've watched the most over and over, I don't know. It's Breakfast Club was one of those things we used to watch a ton of times. Like, infinitely quotable. Spinal Tap. I've seen that a ton of times. I don't know. Shawshank was good.
Good, but was it your favorite?
No, I wouldn't put it as a favorite. It's up there, but...
Oh, you know, another fucking great movie, though. And when I had my back surgery, I don't know why. Well, I was hopped up on pills anyway, too, but I was watching Tombstone like 2-3 times a day.
I've seen Tombstone so many times.
Are you sure you just weren't having a Tombstone pizza, Jim?
No, it was the show. Plus, Dana Delaney is fucking hot. Is that an agreement, Paul? Or
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, dude, I don't know what's about the Paul, Dylan, and Mike have heard it before. I don't know why, but hands down, I think she's one of the hottest chicks on the face of this fucking planet.
Yeah, she's up there. She was in, what was that? Was it East of Eden?
Yeah, yeah. With, and she was like Aykroyd
A new security question: what is your favorite Dana Delaney movie?
Yeah, Aykroyd and Rosie O'Donnell were in that, too.
Yeah,
and she was... Rosie O'Donnell was in that.
Not to be confused with Q.
Yeah, and she was ridiculously naked in that
movie. Yeah, she was.
So, Dylan, have you named anything?
No, it's easy. Godzilla. Or better yet, the original one, Gojira. I don't think I need to explain myself.
I think you should, because you have a Tetris tattoo on your arm.
That's how much that fucking movie means to me.
That's one of my favorite pictures, actually. It was from Fox ProlCon last year when they had a arcade version of Tetris out in the lobby. And I took a picture of Dylan standing next to it, and he gave me the finger in the picture. So, Dylan, you had some sort of...
Yeah, I was going to say, so the a week ago, I was at my buddy's house, and I was wearing a sleeveless shirt, so you could see my tattoo, and you know, as we just stated, it's the Japanese characteristics for Godzilla. So I'm walking out of my friend's house, and his dad, you know, we walk through the kitchen to get out the door, and his dad's like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm like, what? He goes, I've never seen your ink. I'm like, oh, well, it's not new. He said, well, it's new to me. And he's looking, he goes, what the fuck is that, Domino's? And I was just like, oh my god. I'm like, no. And I told him what it was, and his mom just starts laughing and goes, all right, be honest, how tired of you? How tired are you of explaining that to people? And I'm like, pretty damn tired.
And then you just have us assholes who just
fuck
you about it.
Oh yeah. So that was pretty humorous.
Yeah. So like this a couple days ago, I went to the movies, and I saw.
You went to the movies?
I did.
Wow.
Oh yeah, you went to Riff Trax.
I went to Riff Trax live and saw Mothra. Which was horrible.
Dude, I love Mothra.
It's so freaking bad. It's such a bad movie. But I mean, that's what Riff Trax is largely all about. It was funny. It's one of those things. I love going to the Riff Trax just because it's just kind of like that form of like escapism where like for like, you know, 2 hours, you get a, you know, good time of laughing out loud at something, you know. It's not all doom and gloom. It's, you know, it's just something to, you know, laugh at and have a good time with. But
Mike, what's your favorite movie?
I've got a couple different ones that I was gonna name. The first one shouldn't be any surprise, because I really dig this series of movies. I think we had discussed movie trilogies on a previous episode, and I think my all-time favorite trilogy, the first movie of the trilogy, is going to be on my list of just a couple that I'm going to name. It's Back to the Future.
Right on.
The second one is actually Jaws.
Jaws is so fucking good.
Oh, the original?
Yeah, the original Jaws. I love it. It's
none of the sequels.
It's so funny. I think I was over at my parents' maybe a month or so ago, and they were playing them like on a marathon. Like we were having a picnic or something, and they were playing them. And at the point that I was there, was towards the end of 3 and then the beginning of the 4th one. And I remember going to the theater to see the 3rd one, and it was actually playing as what it was originally titled as, because it wasn't just Jaws 3.
It was Jaws 3D.
It was Jaws 3D, and I actually saw it in 3D, and it was horrible. It was so freaking bad.
Like, Jaws 2 is by no stretch a good film, but it's definitely not that bad. Like,
compared to the fourth one?
The third one is terrible, and the fourth one is even worse.
Yep.
Like, the fourth one's garbage.
Yep.
Fun fact, the year that movie was released, Michael Caine won an Oscar and couldn't attend the Academy Awards because he was off filming Jaws 4.
Wow.
So did we get answers for everybody?
Perfect. I think so, yeah. I'm going to stick with mine. I do dig those movies.
All right. So Dylan, question number 39. What was your favorite food as a child? So we'll give you a couple minutes to go and ask MVP Kat. Go on. You can go.
I'm thinking.
Don't hurt yourself.
Well, when of you guys can go?
Well, it's going to be easier for you since, like, you were only yesterday. Just a child.
Well, here's one of my quantifiers. Are we talking, like, kid, or are we talking, like, you know?
Whatever you want.
18 and under, how's that? 17 and under, I should say.
I don't know. I always loved when we ordered out for Chinese food. That was always a big thing for me because, like, I loved it. And, like, it was hilarious. Like how like my grandfather really didn't like it, and how much I loved it. And it was such like a polarizing opinion on it. But I always loved ordering out.
Wait, what was the question?
What was your favorite food as a child? I mean, it still is like a favorite food of mine. But I guess it's just like the memory I have of just being like, we're ordering out for Chinese food. Yeah.
So, any specific item?
Cream of some young guy.
I don't know. I was a fan of dumplings. General Tso's chicken.
So, is that your favorites now, or is that your favorites then?
They've held up pretty well over the years. So, I'm always down for some Americanized Chinese food. Seeing as I work next door to one anyway, it's the same place that we order from.
How about you, Jim?
Pizza.
Pizza, yeah, that's a good one. It was almost going to be my answer, but it's actually always and still am like a big fan of meatloaf.
Meatloaf. You shouldn't let your meatloaf.
Bat out of hell or Paradise.
I would do anything. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Okay. I hate that song.
Didn't he have the one? Did he also do like the objects in the rearview mirror appear closer than they are, or something like that?
Yeah, I believe so. Sounds like so. For me, I don't know. Bananas. I was like a huge banana freak when I was a kid.
Okay.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Banana. This shit bananas. Is bananas.
You know what another huge one was for me? It was pierogies. Fucking loved pierogies.
Really?
Still do.
Not a fan.
Oh, I love pierogies.
They're too filling.
I don't care.
I ate like three of them and I'm done. I'm bored.
I'm bored with them after three.
I'm tired.
All right. So, question number 40. Who is your childhood sports hero?
Oh, God.
Mine was Michael Jordan.
Okay.
And not because of really, like, actual
I think sports. We discussed this before.
Yeah, we did.
It was because of Space Jam.
It's because of Space Jam.
Yeah, I'd have to probably say Lemieux.
I'm going to go, like, along the route of Dylan. Mine was actually an NBA player. But unfortunately, what happened with this guy in the early 90s made me kind of lose a whole lot of respect for him.
Rodman?
No. Magic Johnson.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Because a kid growing up, you know, like in the 80s, I had no idea that he was, you know, had a different woman in every town. You know, I had no freaking clue what he was doing.
The Worm.
Yeah. But I said Magic Johnson. I didn't say Rodman.
Oh, I thought somebody just said Rodman.
Someone just said Rodman.
I said it as a joke.
Oh. I'm going to say...
I would question your choice of if he was your idol.
Well, let's put it this way. Magic was putting his worm in some wrong holes. How about that?
Well, let me put it to you this way, too, Dylan. I only own one player's basketball jersey.
And it's Rodman's?
It's Rodman's.
Rodzilla, when he was a wrestler?
No.
Come on, really?
He
wrestled in WCW.
Yeah, he was a champ for like 5 minutes, wasn't he, or like a week?
Maybe. That's maybe hilarious. he was in the NWO for a brief minute.
New world order.
How about you, Paul?
Oh, you know what? He's a good one too. Hulk Hogan. I mean, who didn't fucking love that dude when we were kids?
Okay, hey, he was my favorite fictional character when I was a kid.
Exactly. I would say, what fucking sport did he do?
Well, no, that was actually a question.
Wrestling.
It's like a favorite fictional character when we were a child.
That's
named Hulk Hogan.
Wrestling's more acting than sport.
I disagree. Those guys are fucking athletic. It might be all works and scripted, but those guys take a fucking beating.
I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Once I started getting into the music thing, I wasn't really much of a sport follower, so I got to go back to when I was a little kid.
I agree with you, though. Music is...
I don't know.
Paul, did you have, like...
I don't think I had an idol. Well, when I was in England, I was really too small to latch on to much of anything from a sport perspective. I knew who the teams were, but I didn't really know much of the players. We come here, you know, as far as hockey goes, the teams that were kind of top of the heap the first couple of years we were here were the Bruins and the Flyers.
Dude, just say Darryl Clark and get it over with.
I'm not going to say Darryl Clark. Why would I say that? Because the question also was when I was a kid. Yeah, he was a kid when I was a kid.
No, he wasn't, dude. He was like 80. He came out that way, man.
Here's the thing, though. You guys are now going to like... Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. He's just the fact that you've named him three times since I've been on. He's going to be geeked about it. So, I don't know. I'm just trying to think. Like, if I go hockey, I was a big Flyers and Bruins fan because they were top at the time, right? Like, Flyers won back to back in what, 74, 75.
Yeah, but when you're a kid, that's
shortly after that. Sorry, Jim.
When you're a kid, that's understandable. I mean, it's not, unless you're really close. Like, I'm surprised, like, you didn't say the Red Wings or something, but.
No, I'd say I'm not a Red Wings fan, never have been. So.
Yeah, but.
Even though I live here, but I don't know if I've ever picked a player. I'm like, yeah, he's my idol. I'm like, you know, Cincinnati, the Reds were big baseball, and I was a big fan of Johnny Bench. Was he my hero? No, I liked him as a player. Like, if I go Flyers, Bernie Perron, he was, he was one of the best goalies they had. It's tough to say.
Here's a question for you, Paul. Knowing what I know about you, when did you get into the racing?
I've always been a fan of cars, and I would watch as much as I could in the 80s, but it was never really televised all that much. Formula One, anyway. Like, if you wanted to watch a race in the late 80s, early 90s, CBC would show it at like 11:30 on a Sunday night on a tape delay. But in the late 90s, say 97, 98, I noticed that TSN, the Canadian ESPN, same company anyway, they started showing the races live, and I just kind of got into that.
So not quite a kid then.
No, I was like in my late 20s, early 30s, I think, right? Like, yeah, in 97, I turned 30. So yeah, it's, I don't know. If I go way, way back, Georgie Best, probably one of the best players to ever play soccer.
Yeah.
But I would know if I would ever call any of them heroes. So, and I've never really been one to idolize anybody, even musicians and shit. It's just, hey, these are cool people. I'm a fan. So I guess that's about as far as I would go.
More of a respect thing.
Yeah. Hey, these are talented folks and they're on teams that I like. You know, I've always been a Cowboys fan, like Tony Dorsett, Roger Staubach. Those guys were great players. Did I idolize them? Did I want to be them? No. Like, I never played football, right? You know, I played hockey. I was in my late early teens when Gretzky kind of hit the scene. Always been a big fan of Wayne. He's been a class player, but I don't know if I'd call him a hero. Like, mostly because I think they're all fucking overpaid anyway for playing games. So, and they're not really doing anything heroic. And most of the good ones would tell you that, right? Just doing a job, right? So, kind of a long-winded non-answer. I apologize for that.
That's okay. I can't wait to hear what your answer is for question number 41. Because if you think that one's difficult.
Truthfully or sarcastically?
Little of both.
When I read this one, you're going to be like, what the hell? What, how do I answer this?
And all right. Dylan might
have the same reaction. Question number 41. What is the name of your least favorite child?
I can't answer it. I don't have any.
I can't answer it either. Mike, you can kind of answer it if you refer to your fur children.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that, because I love all of my fur children. So, actually, I'm going to say a couple weeks back when I was camping, one of the families that was camping near us had a young boy named Tanner, and I kept having to hear his name over and over and over again because he was getting into all sorts of shit. So, my least favorite child is Tanner from the Peach Music Festival.
Nice. Tanner, that sounds like one of those names that what's his face would hate. Carlin.
Yeah. Oh, and the guy's named Todd.
Yes.
All right. So
I'm surprised you didn't go with that.
If that's a legitimate answer, then I would say at least half of the ones I meet.
Nice. Your answer can be whatever you want it to be. Yeah. I mean, the really easy answer could have been just Dylan.
I'll go with any screaming child that runs around my store that is full of glass bottles and thinks it's a good idea and doesn't listen after the first 2 to 3 warnings. That's also kind of a fuck you to the parents because you're clearly bad parents, but whatever.
I would have also accepted if Dylan would have gone, my least favorite child is Dylan. Jim?
I only have one and she's my favorite, so I don't have
a... He's like, listen here, Victoria!
Yeah, so I don't have a non-favorite child.
Jim's like, I love all the children.
He even likes me.
She rocks, so like, there's nothing. I got nothing.
All right. So if that one didn't get you, question number 42, and this will be the last one for insecurities.
We have to. It's 42.
It's his birthday question.
Okay, well, it might be apropos then. Question number 42 on Jim's 42nd year. in what year did you abandon your dreams?
This year. More or less, yes, this year probably.
I don't think I ever have. I'm still childlike.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the same.
Yeah, I think I'm still holding on to some of them.
Oh, I'm still holding on to them, but I've mostly given up on my prospects of what I originally wanted to do with my life. So that's how I kind of interpreted the question.
And that's perfectly okay. Like I've always said, you can interpret the questions however you would like.
It's never too late.
See, that's the thing, Paul, is every week we have to remind Dylan that he can interpret the questions whatever way he wants to interpret them. There is no right or wrong way to ask or answer these questions.
You just have to answer them such that you will remember the answer.
Yes. But that closes us out for insecurities for this episode.
Cool.
Yes. So that was actually like the most insecurity questions we've done in some time. That was five. You got an extra long insecurity segment.
On the record, though, I won't answer the how fast have you ever driven questions.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
On the record or off the record?
On the record, 185 kilometers per hour.
Which is for...
It's about 110.
Okay. What is your second favorite band instrument?
Mine? Second yes. favorite?
Yes. Oh,
God.
That's our most favorite question.
Stop making him think.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of guitar, so that's obviously number one. It's either drums or bass.
Did you hear what Jim's was?
No, I don't know if I heard that episode.
Well, we'll give you a little preview of what Jim's was. Jim's was the jaw harp.
Oh, I did see the video. So that's your thing. It's not even a band instrument. That's what hicks play on front porches.
So dismissive.
Was it musical instrument or band instrument?
It says band instrument, okay. But hey, you know what? Again.
There's probably some hick band out there. Oh.
Yes.
We just lost someone.
Did we?
Did Paul get that upset over that?
No, I'm here.
I was kidding.
But yeah, that's one of our favorite questions.
That's too funny. Yeah. I don't know. I guess if you're thinking rock bands, then yeah, it's probably drums or bass.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's where we started out initially with that question, Paul. But like, what's great about asking these is as we kind of get into it and we expand our minds into these questions, we just it delves into all sorts of fucked upness. And Jim's answer just ended up being pure gold. It really did.
It derailed us pretty bad.
It did, but it's provided so much more. The jaw harp has been a reward that keeps on giving.
Yep.
So that, I think, that was our favorite question ever, was the second favorite band instrument, just because of what it yielded out of Jim. But rest assured, when we get on the cruise, there'll be probably several rounds of insecurities, because I have, in total, I have 114 questions at this point. All right, Jim, it's time.
For bed?
No. Yeah. All right. Well, catch you guys next time.
Do you not want to do your segment?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh. We don't have to. Just do a John Cena one.
Run, ton, 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 tatatui, Sarge of the Week.
All right.
Who you got, Dylan?
I have an epic Sarge of the Week. I almost want to go last. I don't know what you guys have, but mine was... Fuck it. I'm going.
Well, I mean, if you want to run through, I don't have a Sarge this week, so...
Do you have a Sarge, Jim?
I don't have one either.
Paul, do you have a Sarge?
I never even gave it any thought, actually.
Do you understand the Sarge concept?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I could say if I could... You know what? I do have one. That fucking tornado.
Nice.
There are the two tornadoes that come down here. Like, it fucked up a lot of shit around here. So, yeah. Mine is tornadoes for being such dicks. So.
Were those, like, the same, like, weather patterns or tornadoes, like, that hit, like, in the Indianapolis area? I know that's way the hell away from you, but
it is. It was probably the same storm just hours later, but
okay.
And they did come over from Detroit, so they were American tornadoes.
Yeah, fucking Americans.
Americans crossing the border.
America. Oh fuck, dude!
We're gonna put up some walls to block those tornadoes from coming across the borders.
I don't know why. Fuck! I should have brought this up during the Tragically Hip thing, and I don't want to derail the Sarge of the Week thing, but this is the un-Sarge of the Week. Did you hear about this happened on the weekend? There's a town northeast of Detroit, Port Huron. It's across the St. Clair River, which is a river that joins Lake Huron to Lake St. Clair, which is the tiny little lake that's kind of in between this part of Ontario and Michigan. And what they have, I can't remember what they call it, but there's like 1,500 people. It was like the river floater, the great float or something. And there was 1,500 people on rafts, floaties, inner tubes, just lazily going down the St. Clair River. Unfortunately, on Sunday, the winds from the west were pretty freaking high, like gusting up to like 27 knots. And most of these people got blown over to the Canadian side. And there's the town on the other side is Sarnia, Ontario. And they couldn't get back. Most of them were drunk. Nobody had ID because who's going to bring their fucking passport on an inner tube in the river? But these people had to be rounded up by Coast Guard, Sarnia Police, OPP, Ontario Provincial Police, and put on buses and bused back to the States with a police escort because they washed up on Canadian soil, right? Some of them were freaking out that, like, oh my God, I got no shit.
Sure.
Maybe they had stuff on them that they didn't want to be on the board, you know, come across. So they were trying to swim back. So they were plucking people out of the water. But like most of these people just washed up on shore. Like there's pictures about it, like just hundreds of them, like just people stranded. They just rounded them up and said, don't worry, we'll take care of you. Like people were giving them like their clothes because I guess it was pretty cool out as well if they went in the water and it was windy and shit. So people just handing out clothes to them and they bust them back. And like, I don't even think there was any charge to any of it. Like monetarily, people were certainly not charged criminally. Like it was an accident. Like, you know, everybody gets it, but it was like one of the funniest things I've ever heard of.
That was a trip.
We could definitely dish out an unsarge of the week. I'm always down for that.
Yeah.
Get
on those Canadians.
So what you're saying is if you cross into Canada via water, you're not allowed to stay?
Well, no, you can, but none of these people had papers. Like,
right, but in the States, we have to keep them. If we did that, rounded them up and sent them back.
Oh, like for Cubans, you mean?
Yeah, we'd be assholes.
Well, they're not refugees. It was an accident.
Yeah. I'm being
sorry. They're not trying to get there intentionally.
Unless they had, like, fucking, hey, you know, fuck you, Trump, and those kind of signs, and we're fleeing the Trump oppression if he should win.
They'd probably be welcomed with open arms.
Right. They're a little early for that, right? Right. So it hasn't happened yet. So
I think the population's going to increase no matter what. We're fucked.
Yeah, you're right. I don't envy you.
Yeah.
Jim, are you down with OPP?
That's exactly what I thought of when he said it to.
Here's a bit of trivia.
The correct answer was, me.
Oh, sorry. I just I had to reconfirm. I thought the same thing, but yeah, you know me. Know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. What were you gonna say, Paul?
There's an image in Sgt. Pepper's album. The inside the gatefold as it opens up, and has the four of them in their uniforms, and Paul McCartney is wearing an OPP patch on his left shoulder.
Nice. Just kind of an honorary member.
I don't think so, but I don't even know why he did, but it's the same patch. They still wear it like 40 fucking years later, but yeah, it's the, what's in the gatefold on the inside where they're just kind of like all posing. It's basically, I think he's got his knees up, so they must be sitting down, but yeah, he's wearing an OPP patch. So he's the original down with OPP.
There you go.
Could you imagine, like if the people on the Canadian side of that were just like, oh, no, you can't come across here. You're going to have to go back across on your inner tube. Then they have like shotguns and they're like firing them in the air. Nah, that wouldn't have happened.
No, instead they welcomed them with open arms.
They did. Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah, come on.
We'll take you guys back home. No.
Oh, you want some Timbits, eh?
Yeah, hey,
you want some cocoa.
Yeah. Hey. Here's a double-double on your way out.
Well, you might have heard of this one, Mike. Here's another Unsarge of the Week from the other side. I don't know if it was a Coast Guard patrol or some sort of U.S. Border Services patrol out in a boat. And they noticed that there was a house on fire, a Canadian house, and there was no emergency services attending. And I think it was like late at night. So they radioed in and said, hey, you need to get something over here. And then they pushed in closer to shore, started like firing off the sirens on the boat and hitting their spotlights on the house to get the people's attention. But just to make sure, one of them, they went, pulled into the shore. One of them jumped out and went into the house and pulled some people out of the house that was on fire and a neighboring house. And they're being credited for saving people's lives. So it happens both ways. So.
Yeah.
And both of these just happened this week. So that's it. Being good neighbors, right?
Yeah. All right, Dylan.
So let's hear your Sarge.
All right. So the other night I'm at work. I'm counting out a register. I'm sitting in the office and where I'm sitting in the office, the two bathrooms that we have in the store are kind of direct. One is you walk out the office and down a small hallway and the men's room is there. And then the ladies' room is just like a few steps, you know, up the wall from it. So my coworker, Teresa, walks by the office and, you know, I look up and she's like, oh, I'm using the bathroom. Someone else is up front. I said, all right, whatever. And she opens the door and I had gone back to counting the money, and I just immediately hear this shriek of horror. And I look up, and I'm like, what? I'm thinking, it's a roach, it's a rat, it's a mouse. I'm like, is there a body in there? And she's like, no, get up and look. Well, I'm like, all right, hold on. So I put the money down, close the door, which that's kind of Sargy anyway, but and I open the door, and the ladies' room toilet is just fucking caked with shit.
Ugh.
Just absolutely
covered. Literally?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it looked like someone took a cup of Wendy's chili and just, like, threw it all
over. Oh, man.
And I was like, oh, my God. And so she, like, she just starts going, Danny! Danny's our other coworker, and he's like, what? What is it? And he, like, walks in. He just walks up and goes, no! No! Bullshit! This is a fucking joke! Someone's pulling a fucking joke on us! I'm like, oh, no, wow. I'm like, nope, that's... And then he's like, John! This kid, John, he's like, I think he's like 19 or 20. I don't even remember. But he's one of the younger guys that works at the store. He's like, John! Get the mop! Get me a gallon of bleach! He's like, why? He goes, we got cleaning to do! And John just walks over and he's like, why am I getting... He has this kind of funny way of talking. And he just walks into the room and he's just like, well, why do I need to get the mop and the bleach? Oh my God, that's horrible.
And so then he goes, Bob! They just, and then Bob goes, Jimmy! And it just continues down the line.
It was horrible. It looked like someone had took a soft serve dispenser and just put it on like nitrous. It was just so disgusting.
So, in all honesty, at one point, with all these stories that you have...
That all focus around the fucking bathroom at work.
Bathrooms at your work. At what point do you no longer allow customers into those bathrooms?
Well, I said that to my boss. I was like, can we get, like, some locks on there or something? And he's just like, no. I'm like, why? He's like, it's a public bathroom.
But here's not.
So...
I think it might be time.
I think it is too, but whatever.
It's just anyway. Like every week it's something to do with the fucking bathrooms at that place.
And the thing that's fucked up is that...
So is the Sarge your boss for not wanting to get locks for him?
No, it's not. It's whoever went in there and just fucking like...
Had a poosplosion?
Poosplosion. But the thing is that it's like where it was on the toilet was that like... it looked like they had pulled their pants down and just like on the as they were sitting down just started like, you know, just started shitting all over the fucking thing. And I was just like, that's like slightly deliberate aim, or like you just have really bad bowels. And I think I know who it was too, because I had been in the office earlier and I saw this homeless guy walk out of there. He's not homeless, but he like, I don't know what his fucking deal is. And I was like, that's weird. Maybe the men's room was occupied at the moment. I don't know. But like in between that and later in the day, there certainly were some like women, you know, customers that went in there and used the restroom. Cause I'm pretty sure someone was like, do you have a restroom? And I said, yeah, it's over there. And Teresa, my coworker, had gone into use the bathroom, even, you know, like around like 6, 7, maybe 7:30. And this dude came back in the store, so I think he came back to the bathroom and he just fucking exploded all over it. So I think it was this one dude. So, but unfortunately, someone was like, are you going to look at security tapes? I'm like, my boss is not going to review security tapes to see you shit all over a fucking toilet.
Well, you don't have a camera in there anyway, so.
No, but we have Dylan, a camera within the premises.
Right.
No.
But you're still not going to be able to peg it 100%.
Right.
Oh, I mean, no.
What are you going to be like, you walked in and out of there, I know you shit. Like, yeah, but I flushed.
No, I think we could have been able to figure out who it was.
Here's my thoughts on it. It's women tend to not want to sit on shitters, so they hover, and hovering's never going to work, right? So
I don't know, man, because I feel like if someone had gone in there, they probably would have seen it and reported it to us.
You think?
Would they have seen it or taught?
I don't know. That's my logic to it. I'm just like, I feel like if that had been in there since like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, someone went in there, they'd be like, there's poop all over
your toilet. Wait. So was it the whole bathroom destroyed or just a stall?
No, it was just the toilet. No, in the ladies' room, there's no stall. It's just an open room.
Did we lose
somebody? One toilet.
I'm telling you, I'm guessing somebody was just floating.
Disgusting either way. So that's my start of the week.
There's a similar thing happened at my office a couple of years ago, and somebody had done just that and missed horribly, and instead of doing something to just get rid of it, just left it there.
That's so fucked.
Well, what makes this one even more fucked and grosser is another girl went into the stall, didn't realize it, went to sit down. Now, it didn't sit on it. It was on the floor, and her foot caught on it, and she slipped on it.
So anyway, yeah, that's my gross poopy Sarge for the week.
That is a pretty shitty story.
Oh, on that note.
The brown note,
yes. I think we're about ready to close this episode out for the week. What do you say, boys?
I think Jim's tired.
I know Jim's tired.
Well, who got Sarge of the week? The tornadoes or the poop guy?
No, they're both pretty good.
I would say poop wins Sarge this week.
Yeah. Shit's gonna trump weather any day.
Shit happens.
Yeah, but eventually you should like that.
You should just lock the fucking doors. Not allow public into them.
I agree. Or at least get a key.
What'd they say in that famous movie? They're all a bunch of savages.
Yep. I 100% agree. Bunch of shitty sandwiches.
Yep, I thought a putty tat.
But if you wanna link up with the savages at Jim's BBQ Podcast, don't forget you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/JimsBBQPod.
If you want to see pictures of the savages, go on Instagram and follow us at JimsBBQPod, and you can also get weekly updates on Twitter at JimsBBQPod for the savages. Yeah.
You can email us like E-Man did and tell us what a savage Dylan is at jimsbbqpod@gmail.com. Or you can go listen straight and fresh from the grill at www.jimsbbqpod.com.
Don't forget, you can also rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Yes. And big shout-outs to old-ass motherfucker Paul Saunders for joining us again.
Paul Saunders!
It's only been a 28-episode gap between episodes.
That's not bad.
But he's he's back.
We don't want to flood the market, right?
No. No, but you'll be on again, I'm sure.
Gotta tease it out a little bit.
When we record during the first annual Jim's BBQ podcast fan cruise.
Plus, if you guys think about it, I mean, if we had Paul on all the time, the lady listener viewership would just skyrocket. And I mean,
bullshit.
Yeah. Well, I think it'd be the ladies, not the guys. If they were Dylan's buddies, but.
Well, we always ask our special guests if they want to do the close.
What's the close? All right. So thanks for visiting Jim's BBQ, where we always give you a proper ribbon.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye now.
Ta-ta.
Adios. Actually, you know what was really funny was I was wearing my... Oh my god, that was fucking nasty.
Wow.
That was loud.
Dude, it sounded like you just shit yourself.
And I was going to say it sounded like you did something else.
Oh. Oh, talk about feeling better, though.
It was a tight one.
Do like a John Cena-esque one.
All right. Hold on, I need to get a drink.
You can just see like the hamster wheel turning.
It's like you're fucking trying to pinch a loaf. He's like, you can hear him breathing and everything.